This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, busy final hour. Paul is getting Coach Fisher set up. While he does that, I'm going to announce today's biggest fan. Now, keep in mind, because we have the phone lines full at the moment, Coach Fisher will be on. If you call in, just stay on hold. It'll keep ringing. We'll get you after we speak with Coach Fisher. But we'll see you're calling in time. So you have 10 minutes to qualify for our grand prize drawing. 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game later this season. Last chance is here to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. But right now, our biggest fan is Jeff Nolan from San Diego. So, Jeff, you are on the clock for 10 minutes, but again, can't answer the phone until probably after we talk to Coach Fisher. So just be patient. So
everybody else is calling for baseball tickets. Hang on.
Yeah, we gave away the baseball tickets already, so you hang up. 833-288-0973. Jeff, we'll clear the lines for you if you want to call in now. But at the moment, we'll go out and be joined by the architect of the San Diego State basketball program. That same program headed to its fifth straight NCAA tournament with a first four game today in Dayton, Ohio. The legendary Coach Steve Fisher is back with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Coach, I love this time of year, and gosh, it's so great to have the Aztecs back in the tournament again.
It certainly is, and we were all holding our breath on Sunday, and the nice thing about it was we found out early that we were going to get in, and I've been on both sides of it, and it's no fun when you're like West Virginia or Boise State, and you don't get selected. It's heartbreaking, but we're excited, anxious, and I can't wait to watch as we tip it off against North Carolina.
It should be a fun one. I mean, and really the entire country, Coach, is talking about North Carolina and you know, they don't deserve to be in. It should be these guys or this team. You know, from your perspective, they're in, right? They got in through no fault of their own. They're in. And now the entire country is kind of rooting against them. How dangerous can a team like that be?
Well, they're good. They're very talented. North Carolina is always talented. Their resume speaks for itself. One quad win out of 13, I think, 1-12. So probably they shouldn't have gotten in, but they are talented enough to where they could get to the Sweet 16. I agree with some of these people that are talking. They will be like us. They've heard all the noise, and they will want to prove that they belong. So it should be interesting. They're a little bit atypical of what I think of with North Carolina. They don't have those big 6'11", 7-footers in the middle that they can throw the ball to and rely on that. But they're typical North Carolina. If you don't get back on defense, they're going to run you out of the gym. They really run. So we have to do a great job with that. And they're guard dominated. R.J. Davis is their most important player. And So we've got to come out and play like the Aztecs can play and play hard, and I think we'll have a great opportunity.
So, Coach, what are the challenges of finding out who you're going to play on a Sunday afternoon and then having to play that game half the country over on Tuesday? Because I know you play back-to-back games in conference tournaments, but you've already seen those teams many times. You have your assistants scout potential opponents when you know, hey, we're either going to be this guy or this guy, and you'll have different scouts. You can't scout every team in the country. So this is a unique situation. And I saw Dutch say yesterday, he was asked that question. He goes, I've been to Final Fours as a head coach and an assistant in national championships and many, many NCAA tournaments. I've never done this. I don't really know what the first four is like. What do you see as the challenges facing Dutch and the coaching staff here?
Well, I would say one thing. I've been to Dayton, and it's a basketball city. I think that they will put a lot of people in the stands. And I think the good news for us is everybody's going to cheer for us unless we're wearing Carolina blue. I think we're going to be the team that picks up all the neutrals, and I've been on both sides of that also. So what happens, you know, it's not like the old days. The old days, you couldn't get film on people. Now, when we saw Carolina pop up, we've got a lot of coaches, and immediately we must have had 15, 20 tapes on Carolina that they divvied up and who's going to take what. And so they were hard at it Sunday right after the selection to start getting a feel for a game plan. It's obviously a short turnaround when you find out on Sunday and you have to play on Tuesday. We traveled yesterday and had a crazy mandatory open practice. So Dutch is great at juggling all the craziness and not letting that be an issue. And I think if you're calm at the top, the players will be calm, and that's what we've got. So we'll be ready to play. Carolina will be also. So I think it'll be a great game.
Talking to the great Steve Fisher here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, Coach, you know, I tell my little leaguers this, and I was told it growing up. Sometimes hits aren't there, but you can help your team with the glove, right? And if you can't help your team with the glove or the hits, you can help your team by being a great teammate. You know, all of these things. And I look at a player who is, he's my absolute favorite player on the team, Miles Byrd, who has been so good defensively. How important do you think it is? When you're talking to Byrd before a game like this, is it, all right, Miles, you know, we need you to score more buckets, or is it you just keep doing what you're doing, being a force defensively, and if the buckets come, they come?
I think what you do is, as best you can, you treat it like it's your next game. And you can't go out of the box in terms of trying to do things that you've not done before or trying to do too much. I think that will impact you in a negative way. And I think if you just go out with the opinion that you're going to play for others with what you do offensively, that will allow you to settle into a game quicker rather than saying, I got to hump my shot and I have to do this, I have to do that. You just go out and play. And Miles he's a very cerebral basketball player. I think sometimes Miles takes too many chances, but he can play. And he's an exceptional defender where you think he's not going to be there and he gets a deflection or a steal.
Yep.
We're going to need him to score some, too. I mean, we've been challenged at times to score. So he's going to have to score, but he can't hunt his shot. He just got, when it's there, he's got to take it, and then he's got to make it.
So you don't want Miles Byrd just being a good teammate, right? He needs to continue to do his thing, and he needs to put some in the basket because we know he's capable of it. I mean, he's a marvel, man. He really has it in him to be one of the best in college basketball. He's that good.
He's a wonderful player. He's made immense improvement, and I'm anxious to watch him play. I think all of us are anxious to see what's going to happen with Magoon. Is he going to be able to play? And I think they're cautiously optimistic that he's going to have an opportunity to play some. And then what will that be like after having missed about 6 games and 3 weeks or whatever it's been since he was hurt? But obviously we need him, and if he can play and play effectively it will obviously enhance greatly our opportunity.
Coach, I just wanted to ask you about Magoon. How difficult is it, maybe from your point of view, from a coach's point of view, what are those conversations like with a difference maker like him who wants to play? He's a kid. He's an athlete. He wants to play. But I got to imagine those are challenging conversations on testing themselves, their strength, their endurance after missing 3 weeks. What are those conversations like when there is no tomorrow for the team, but you also got to do what's best for the player?
I think that's what Coach Dutcher and his staff and the doctors have done. They err on the side of caution. You don't want to put him out there when he's not ready, and they haven't done that. So with him being cleared for practice, I think they feel he's ready to play. Now, how will he be mentally when he gets out there? Will he be a little bit nervous about the knee? Hopefully not. If he just goes out and relaxes and plays, then he'll have a chance. I mean, he's had a first-year season for us that has had ups and downs. But when he was playing towards the end of the season, he was a huge difference maker and took us from where we were up another two levels with his ability to block shots and defend in the post, and then he became a scorer. So if he can play and give us 15, 20 minutes, it would be sensational.
Talking to Coach Steve Fisher here with Men and Woods on 97.3 The Fan, and you know the ultimate goal is winning. Well, six times winning the national championship, but even tougher for a first four team because you have to win seven times to win a national championship. It sounds almost impossible, but are there any potential advantages in terms of if you do win tonight of getting your feet wet and maybe some of the nerves out of the way, making Friday's game against Ole Miss a little bit easier for the team?
Maybe. We would much rather be playing on Friday or Thursday or Friday. But I remember when they instituted the games in Dayton, and initially it was just a one game with the two lowest seeded teams. And then in, I believe 2011 is when they played the format that we have now. And lo and behold, VCU, Shaka Smart, they were in the first four, and they got to the final four. UCLA in 2021 were in the first four and got to the final four. So it's happened, and every year since 2019, with the exception of 2019, since they instituted this new format in 2011, that one of those teams has won at least one game. So I think that whoever wins our game between North Carolina and ourselves will have a great opportunity against a very good Ole Miss team. So how much of an advantage to play in, I don't know that would be significant, to be honest with you.
All right, before you go, Coach, Woods is going to give me the eye roll, but I got to ask the one tough question. Who are you cheering for, UCSD or Michigan?
Ooh. That's a good question, actually. Just put Coach Fisher right on the spot here, dude. God, Coach, I apologize for him.
I'm long gone from the University of Michigan.
Right.
I had a great experience there with many friends and a lot of years. And Dusty Baker has done a great job. Juwan Howard played for me, and he got let go after last season. I cheer for people. I have great regard for what Eric Olin has done at UCSD. You talk about a National Coach of the Year candidate, and he should be up there in terms of the conversation. I think it's going to be a great game, and I won't give you who I'm pulling for. But I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be watching.
I tried, and it is going to be
I will tell you this. I called and left messages for both coaches.
Of course you did.
Congratulating them and wishing them good luck.
You're a gentleman as always, and I am not. I'm sorry about that, Coach.
It actually feels like a win-win. You know, when you root for people, it feels like a win-win.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you,
Coach.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it as always. Good luck to the Aztecs. Dutch tonight, you know we'll be rooting for them. And hopefully we can do this again next week as they get ready for the Sweet 16.
That would be fantastic. And I've told you this before. I have a routine where at least three, sometimes 4 days a week, I take little grandson Max to school, and I've got you on. So I'm a regular. I'm a listener. I have great regard for all of you. You do a spectacular job highlighting sports and life, and so you're fun to listen to, and I appreciate what you do for all of us.
It makes me, it kills me every time, Coach. I think about you and your grandson, Sweet Angels,
we
driving to school.
We make a promo out of that every time he comes on.
Every time he comes on, but I hope we haven't taught Max anything he shouldn't be learning yet, Coach. So we do apologize, and we love you and thank you.
He listens intently. He does listen.
the great best. Coach Steve Fisher,
the
as
best
always,
of all
so
time.
Fantastic. Love that we get to talk to him. Tournament time. And, yeah, he's not taking sides, UCSD against Michigan.
Good question. I thought you were going to ask him some dumb thing about altitude or something. I'm like, oh, no, God, here we go. Coach, what do you think about run differential?
I thought it might be kind of tricky for him.
It was a great question.
Because he loves all of the local teams. He's so supportive
he's
of
the best,
all
man.
Of the programs in town. But got those longtime Michigan ties, and we got an interesting game on Thursday night between the two.
I like what he said, though. Hey, John Howard played for me, and they let him go last year, and I root for people.
I thought maybe he was going to go to UCSD, but he didn't go that far.
Okay.
He didn't want to offend anybody. He's a gentleman.
He's very loyal.
You know that. He also absolutely, I saw, could read books on tape. He's very soothing.
His voice, man. It just gets me.
Secrets to coaching as well. If you're in the huddle, and it's tense, and then he comes out, and you know he's got that voice. It just feels like it calms you down a little bit.
Yeah, he has a very calming, soothing way about it.
Oh, he's got the red ass.
Oh, I'm sure he gets it. I'm sure he's getting that too.
Seeing that on the sideline.
No, absolutely. Yeah. There's no basketball coach in the world.
It almost stings more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah. It does. Like when I'm yelling at my kids, it means nothing at this point. It just we're over their head. They're like, "Oh, look who's upset again!" Right? Like, yeah. But if you're cool and calm, like if Ben. Yelled at me ever, I would lose it. Yeah. I would be like, ooh.
Can you imagine how bad you'd feel if Coach Fisher was disappointed?
Oh, it'd be terrible, dude.
In you.
I'd cry. I absolutely would cry. I would be so upset.
I am so disappointed.
It would end me.
Like, arrow to the heart.
Yeah. It would end me. It would end
That's
me.
That's why
sure.
You always worry when you hear about his grandchildren, you know, listening.
Yeah. About all
then
of your,
you feel like
your S&M stuff, all your bondage
stuff. He's
going to
be disappointed in us. Like, I don't want him to be disappointed in us.
Yeah, all your perverse behavior.
Yeah.
Gosh, dude, you got to remember, man. Coach Fish and little Max are listening and stop talking about all your ball gags and all your other stuff that you're into.
So,
what are you guys called again? Rope bunnies? Yeah. I mean, how's that go? Both of you creeps.
6:10 tonight, Aztecs against UNC. And remember, he reminded VCU and UCLA both made the Final Four out of the first four. So it's not just a fluke. It's happened a couple of times in the last 14 years. So it's definitely possible to get on a run, even if you have to play that extra game to get there, you know, 5 wins to get to the Final Four instead of 4 wins to get to the Final Four.
Paulie, think about little Max running into school saying, cannabis, a.k.a. ganja, just running around in school.
Ganja, a.k.a.
Or ganja, a.k.a. cannabis, or hot beef, maybe.
That reminds me, you can still vote.
Hot beef!
In our Tournament of Drops, Elite 8, get down to the Final Four. Check our social media channels for that.
Grandpa Fish, what's a Delilah?
What's a Dalilah?
Oh. 6:10 tonight on True TV, the Aztecs and the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Let's go.
All right, we will come back. I want to still get to that Gavin Sheets interview that Gwen and Chris were able to do yesterday as he is getting closer to winning one of the final spots in the Padres roster. We'll get to that coming up, and our Rondo report still ahead as well. First, though, let me tell you about SDFatLoss.com. I was just noticing, it's 2 years ago, I went on a golf trip, and I was getting real tired playing golf, and I realized I need to do something, lose some weight, and I did. About a couple months later, I found out about the SDFatLoss.com program, went through my 2 months, and lost 40 pounds in 60 days following their simple proprietary strategies, eating foods from the grocery store, steak, chicken, vegetables, and I lost weight fast. You can lose up to a pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% of your body weight in time for summer. Bathing suits, shorts, t-shirt season is right around the corner here in San Diego. And by then, you can already be done with the program. I loved it. Just go and set up your free consultation at SDFatLoss.com. Do it today. Take advantage of their spring special. Get $200 off. And then they'll help you keep the weight off as well. I've kept the weight off Since those 2 years, almost up now, I have kept every single pound off because it is a sustainable, real way to lose weight. It's not injections, it's not hormones or drugs. There's no shakes or bars or mixes to buy. You don't even need to exercise to lose the weight. You can do it. I did it. Please follow me. Follow all the tier ones who've lost thousands of pounds. And go to SDFatLoss.com today to schedule your free consultation at SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary. Our thanks again to Coach Steve Fisher. Giving the Aztecs some love as we get ready for tonight's first four game. Don't forget, you can tune in to Gwen and Chris this afternoon, a second straight day, live from the Peoria Sports Complex, and they will have their show from 2 to 6. Had a bunch of interviews yesterday. Some of the guys we already talked to, a little update from how they've been going on spring training, but they also talked to one guy that we did not speak to at camp, Gavin Sheets. Now, when we talked to Gavin Sheets, didn't feel like he was making much of an impact. He was there, but
hit a really big home run, like first week or whatever, like a huge, like 450 footer or something, just raw power, and then kind of cooled off a little bit. And by the time we left, you know, as soon as we got back, he started tearing the cover off the
ball. Yeah, anyone can run into one,
sure,
or even two. Six, though, is a trend.
Yeah.
Six home runs and hitting the ball hard consistently. So they had a chance to talk to Gavin Sheets, and they asked him about that slow start to spring training, trying to make an impression and make this team.
Come in and, you know, you want numbers right away. You want to make a team right away. And, you know, it's a different spot than I've been in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you start to press a little bit, but at the same time, it's like you want to dive into these guys. You want to see their ideas. You still want to work on stuff. You know that in the long run, when everything clicks and you make these changes, everything's going to, you know, in the long run, it's going to benefit you. And so it's kind of that fine line of like, man, I had a great, you know, from 8 to 12 o'clock today, my work was unbelievable. And then you go and you roll over one at bat, and you're like, just don't
make it a big thing.
Don't panic. Right. Don't panic. Like,
so hard to do,
it's
though,
so
right?
Hard. It's like, man, yeah. I had 4 hours of unbelievable. I had 100 swings today that were really good. And then my one at bat today, I rolled over. I punched down. It's like, how do you not go back and change everything? But, no, I stuck with it and just stuck with these guys and loved what they were doing. And then, obviously, you start to see some results and start to be like, all right, this is why I was buying in.
It's the best. That is the best.
Good answer.
It's a great answer. And if you've ever played at any level, you know it's exactly how it goes. Just like golf as well. Oh, man. Should have seen me on the range. I was striping. Yeah. Oh, my God. Couldn't miss.
Wedges are the first tee.
Wedges are dial. I'm telling you, I figure something out in my swing. And you get out there. You put in the greatest work of your life. You take a lesson, whatever. And then you get out there and it's just.
One other note there. If you're watching our YouTube stream, his arms are like.
Are they?
Bursting out of his. His pullover.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
That guy is strong.
Say
I mean,
that
guy has look at his arms. Well, it's looking on our YouTube stream coming up here. He is absolutely jacked.
What?
He doesn't like in his face. He doesn't look like he's like a huge guy, but his arms.
Really digging yourself into a weird hole.
Sorry,
that's all right.
I was just vamping a second because
you're like a baseball player to me.
You're not on our live. I don't know. Just looks strong. And then we have one other bite from Gavin Sheets. You know, what kind of opportunity did he think he was going to be getting with the Padres? Given that there's so many players competing for so few jobs, did he really think, you know, he was being given a chance to make this club?
Promised to me, nor did I expect anything to be promised. You know, I didn't want any false promises or anything like that, but what was promised was a chance to compete. And, you know, I wasn't afraid of competition. I wanted to come in and, you know, be a part of a winning franchise. You know, I watched what they did last year. I know the talent that they have here. I know the superstars they have here. And for me, it was coming in and fitting in and being a guy to add some depth.
You know, it's the catch 22 because I think every ball player like Gavin Sheets or Connor Joe wants to play for a good team. You know, that's, you know, you get the opportunity to go to maybe the playoffs or even win a World Series. It's also when you're a player who's not an established star, harder to make a good team's roster because they got more players and less spots. I mean, for Connor Joe, you know, making a Pittsburgh Pirates team, Colorado Rockies team is not the same as making the San Diego Padres roster. For Gavin Sheets, could have signed somewhere else, you know, that he had probably an easier path to the big leagues.
Was he released by the White Sox? And that's the other thing you think of, too, is like you're in an organization that is, you know, look, it's it's been a dumpster fire, and it doesn't look like it's really going to get much better. And I think there's probably something that messes with you a little bit. You're like, I just got cut by the worst team in baseball. What's my value here? But fresh start, change of scenery, that's real stuff, man. That's not radio host speak. That's a real thing. Different philosophies, whatever. And I think that's a really refreshing perspective from him.
So good stuff from Gavin Sheets with Gwynn and Chris. They'll have more interviews for you this afternoon from the Peoria Sports Complex. Just got a note, Major League Baseball, they've announced pretty much all of the pitching matchups for opening day next week, with a couple of exceptions, still a couple of TBDs on this list. But I always like playing the fun game. I mean, we got the Padres, obviously. Michael King was named yesterday against Chris Sale, 110 Pacific. I always like to play the game. Who's the worst opening day starter in Major League Baseball? There's a couple of candidates. You pointed out last year, like Garrett Crochet.
I laughed.
Was the opening day starter for the White Sox.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, they're converting this reliever. He's going to be a starter. Okay, good luck, White Sox. I mean, look at the year Garrett Crochet.
He will be the opening day starter for the Boston Red Sox against Nathan Eovaldi of the Texas Rangers. Let's see. We got some good matchups here. Hunter Green against Logan Webb. Cincinnati against San Francisco. Sandy Alcantara versus Paul Skeens.
Nasty dude.
Marlins against the Pirates. Let's see. Logan Gilbert against Luis Severino, Seattle against Athletics. I don't know, Kyle Freeland is the starter for the Rockies. Probably, I mean, he gives the Padres trouble.
He will go 7-0 against us this year with a 1.32 ERA.
This year the White Sox are going with Sean Burke. He's one of their up-and-comers, right? Burke. Sonny Gray has had a really bad spring.
He's the
opening day starter for the Cardinals still, but he has gotten beat up. He goes up against Pablo Lopez of the Minnesota Twins in an interleague game on opening day. Carlos Rodon is the Yankees' opening day starter against Freddy Peralta of the Brewers.
Yeah, decent matchup.
The Arizona Diamondbacks haven't named their opening day starter.
It's Corbin Burns.
I would think.
What are they doing? It's Corbin Burns.
I mean,
or it's Zach Gallen, one of the two.
He's been here longer.
He's our guy.
So I think then the Cubs have also not named their opening day starter for that game, although technically it'll be their third game. Dodgers also haven't named who's going to face Tarek Skubal of the Tigers for their stateside opener.
That's a nasty order, man. That would be probably Snell. They have. I thought they said it was Snell. I thought it was going to be Snell.
It says TBD here. They're not just going to go back to Yamamoto?
No, I thought
the Padres last year did the same, too.
I thought I saw that it was Blake Snell starting the stateside opener.
All right, well, I've got a TBD according to the tweet I saw this morning. So
I'm going to hammer the Tigers that day.
Really?
Yeah,
if it's against Blake Snell?
Oh, yeah. Tarek Skubal also? Yeah, hammering the Tigers.
The one loss for the Dodgers?
Yes, the one loss. 161-1. Tarek Skubal got him. The third game of the year for them.
All right. Paulie's got some headlines with the Rondle Report coming up in our final segment. Anything you'd like to tease for us, Paulie?
I've got a release date for a movie that a couple of us will be excited for.
Oh, I saw. And there's a, I think there's a trailer out as well.
Yes, trailer is out.
I'm looking forward to actually this because I have now seen the original. And now I'm actually looking forward to the sequel. We'll get to that coming up next. Final segment of Ben and Woods ahead on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules, play to 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
First, though, I'm going to talk to the high-stakes card players out there. I know there's a few of them, tier ones, in our audience who like to play cards and don't mind doing so at a little higher level. 7 Mile Casino wants you to know that they are a great place to play for a high-level poker or California-style blackjack. If that's your thing, they're going to take care of you at 7 Mile Casino.
Yeah, no question about it. We love really everything there is to love about 7 Mile Casino. It's a smoke-free environment. It's bright. It's airy. It doesn't feel like a dingy card room when you walk in. Their staff is so friendly, so professional, always eager to serve. The food is top-notch, phenomenal, great place for lunch, great place for dinner, great place to watch a game, all of it, man. And best part, it's just 7 minutes from downtown, just off the 5 on Bay Boulevard in Chula Vista. It's great.
Yeah, check a beautiful day today. It would be a great day to have lunch out on the patio. Look over San Diego Bay, over to Coronado. Just a really nice spot. And again, don't have to spend all your time in the car. If you want to play high-limit card games, don't be in the car. Be at 7 Mile Casino. It's just 7 minutes from downtown.
Sorry about that, Benny. trying to help you out, actually. I just doxed Ben in our YouTube chat. So don't, whatever you do, don't go back in the chat. Look for the email address that I posted and send him.
This is not helping by drawing more attention.
Zach, I did get your take on Woods category suggestions. Thank you for your submission.
Yeah.
I get those from time to time. I enjoy
them. Weed through them?
I do. I, you know, they're, some of them are perfect. Some of them need a little editing.
Yeah.
Some of them I've already done the category before, but I always
appreciate. Some of them terrible?
I've never gotten a really bad one. Some of them are, I think, are too hard. Right. For at least our game, like really esoteric, which is like, you might get some of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I don't know the quality of the contestant and just like the odds of the listener getting zero with that one seems really high. So that's why I reject an occasional category suggestion, just because I think it might be too difficult for a tier one.
Next time you get a one that you think's too esoteric, bring it in and test me anyway. I want to see how I do.
All right. Yeah. I will do so.
Cool. And all I'll I'll play for a listener. And if I win, if I get a certain number or whatever,
we have an extra prize to give away. You can play for a listener.
Yeah.
To give away something with one of the extra tough games that I occasionally
get. Got to get 3 out of 5. Yeah, something like that.
Perfect. All right, we got to check traffic, and then when we come back, Paulie's going to give us some Rindle Report headlines to get us to the end of the show here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report. With Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. It's the Rindle Report, brought to you by the Kraft Taco. Whether you're craving tacos for lunch or a craft beer for happy hour, the Kraft Taco is the answer. Now open in Balboa Park and Sereno Valley. Let's see, gentlemen, we will start off, how about the NCAA here? So a lot of people maybe not knew that this was going on. There was a settlement that happened yesterday with the NIL landscape that's ever changing in college sports, but the NCAA has agreed to drop a rule that they previously had in place that was prohibiting athletes from negotiating terms of their name, image, and likeness, and all the payments that come with that until after they enroll in school. That's how it used to be. You had to enroll in the school first and then negotiate your NIL.
But you're not going to enroll in the school unless you know what it's not. They're not rolling the dice going, oh, I hope
that's the
Notre
thing.
Dame has some money for me.
It's
crapped out.
It's the NBA players signing $300 million contracts at 12:01 kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, technically, this is just how it works. So, the NCAA was going up against a group of state attorneys general who were suing the NCAA last year, claiming that putting those restrictions on the NIL negotiations for players violated federal antitrust law and blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to get too legal here. So the NCAA has dropped that. So now, if you are a high school athlete,
highest bidder,
it's open season officially.
Yeah.
It's catch 22 because the NCAA, and I can see why they wanted to prevent schools and booster collectives.
They tried to control it
from just offering guys.
Yeah, give you $1 million to come here.
We'll give you $1 million to come here.
But it was already happening.
Well, that's why they were trying to stop it. That's why they put the rule in. Like, okay, we'll
even
have NIL,
but you're telling me nobody negotiated a deal before they enrolled in schools. Come on.
Sweet kid.
No, I think it was going to be a new rule.
Oh, they were going to
implement the rule.
And then they
with
banged
the settlement.
It.
I thought it was already in place and they dropped it.
I don't know that it has been in place. If it has, then you're right. It has been completely unenforceable.
Correct.
And now it just doesn't exist at all.
It says, the rule was designed to try to keep schools and booster collectives from using NIL deals as a recruiting incentive for incoming high school athletes. But come on. Unless you've been living under a rock, that has been happening.
It's pretty interesting, too. I mean,
it was happening in the 80s.
There's something they could do. There's something that they could do to a contract of some sort, right? We have a contract here. We're being paid to work here. We signed a contract. I cannot today walk in and go, hey, I'm done here. I'm going across the street and I'm going to do radio there. I can't do it, right? I have to stay till the end of my deal or whatever we agree to, and I'm under contract. They could do something in basketball, football, whatever, where if I sign on the dotted line to be a wide receiver at San Diego State University and they give me $75,000 for year one, I have to stay. Or 2 year. We'll give you a 2 year $75,000.
I think we're dangerously close to contracts.
Correct.
Professors are state employees. I think college athletes are about to become state employees.
Isn't that better than I played a year here, they paid me $250,000. I had a really good year. Now so and so wants to pay me $280,000. I'm gonna go there.
I just don't know that it'll be allowed. I mean, the courts will say, no, you can't lock them in. They have the transfer portal, and they can put themselves up for bid again.
Their contract's up next year. They can enter the transfer portal then.
There's a transfer portal. Essentially, you're a free agent again.
Crazy, man.
And I just don't think that's good for college sports.
I think it's hard,
man. The NIL money's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah,
the
coach, like Dominic says,
unlimited transferring anywhere you want to go,
tough, dude,
is more. It's more freedom than you even get, as you said, as a professional athlete.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Like, how is it possible that we've swung so far that now college athletes have way more freedom to sign as free agents than professional athletes have? You know, when you're a pro, you're drafted, you're locked to your team for 6 years in baseball, and then only when your contract expires can you sign a free agent deal. Now in college, you can every year. You essentially can enter the transfer portal and start the NIL process all over again.
I was talking to a fellow Notre Dame fan this weekend at the Seals game. He does the broadcast, Nick Acello. He actually played there. And we were talking about it, and it's like, yeah, man, we were in the national championship game last year. The recruiting's not going as well as you would have hoped. We lost our recruiting coordinator to USC. He's doing a great job. Like, you start to get a little panicked, and then you're like, you can't fall in love with any of these players. But it's always been that way. It's always been that way for coaches, right? It's always been that way. Coaches can come and go whenever they please. Jake says, how many colleges did Woods go to? Why can't a college basketball player do the same? I went to like 5 colleges, but they didn't pay me to stay there. They weren't paying me for my services. In fact,
you were actually
I was probably paying them. Correct. But it is, there's something's got to be done in the next few years. They're going to have to get a handle on it. Otherwise, it's the Wild West.
I feel like we're going to be dealing with this, every year for at least the next 10, 15, 20 years until they really dial it in. But
it's not great for schools like San Diego State, which will never have the same kind of money as Ohio State and Florida.
Jake says, technically,
Alabama.
The colleges aren't paying the players. Okay, fine. I didn't have a booster team sending me to Texas Tech to get a 0.0.
But now they kind of are. I mean, now with the new agreement, it paves the way for up to, what is it, $20.5 million that the schools will directly be paying players out of that fund or whatever the school decides on. But
for me, it's not about tamping down the freedom of the college student. You know what it is for me? It's, oh my gosh, I'm so excited you've decided to come to my favorite school. I can't wait to root for you for more than a season. That's all it boils down to is like, I'm so glad you're here. We want you to play well here, and I want to root for you. I want my kids to root for you. You know what I mean? Imagine if Fernando Tatis Jr. every year could just opt out. The Athletics are like, hey, we have to spend some money. We're going to give you the most money. He's like, all right, I'm going to Sacramento. It's tough. And I get it. I've always been an advocate for college players getting paid, especially since they profit so much from their name, image, and likeness. I have no problem with them getting paid. I think I just have a problem with the Wild West mentality of it. But, you know, look, you can regulate it and make it fair and make it equitable for everybody.
All right, quickly, before the movie news, catching up on some stories from the weekend still. I don't know how you guys didn't talk about this for like 4 straight hours. Joey Gallo-related updates.
You know us.
Related news. Joey Gallo was released over the weekend. The White Sox, kind of forgot he was with the White Sox to begin with. He was granted his release, and then it wasn't about an hour later, he went on social media after he was released by the White Sox and said that, you know, he's not retiring, he's not hanging him up or anything. In fact, he's going to be changing his game. He wants to become a pitcher now.
Okay, it's happened. We've seen it done. before.
Where does Joey Gallo slot in the race for the Padres' fifth starter's job now?
Hmm. He's like, probably, I mean, right now today he's probably fourth.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not on the Padres yet, but you feel like he's at four, he's in fourth right now.
Fifth. He could always use some pitching.
He's a big boy, dude. Imagine all that.
He's only 31. I thought maybe he was a little older. Feels like he's been around forever.
He has no professional experience on the mound. He did pitch in high school.
Yep.
So no hitter.
So did pretty much everybody who's in the big leagues.
He touched 95 in high school. I mean, he's 6'11" or whatever he is. Yeah. Give him a shot.
Two gold gloves as an outfielder, so he got an arm.
He's got a cannon on him, dude.
I always thought about, I think the best arm, one of the best arms I've ever seen in my life was Ichiro.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God,
could he, what could he do if he, devoted himself to pitching?
Oh, my God, dude.
What about Fernando?
Fernando. Cannon. If he devoted himself to pitching, what would that look like?
Well, listen, somebody tweeted, if you can't beat him, join him. And I couldn't have agreed more than that. He is literally one of the worst hitters on the planet. I mean,
I wasn't that hard to strike out. I could probably do that on the other side.
Yeah.
I could strike me out all the time.
I could strike me out every single day. I'm pulling for Joey Gallo. I told you, I saw him in the airport that one time. He was alone, and he looked really sad. And I like that. I like that there's another guy that's trying to do it this year. I can't remember who it is. I think it's for the Guardians or something. I can't remember who it was, but yeah, man, this is something that if he could get a few more years playing baseball as a pitcher would be pretty fun.
Yeah, you know how we feel about it. It's Joey Gallo.
Oh, it's Joey Gallo. Yeah, his hitting drop off is historic. BM just writes in. I'm pulling for him too.
I mean, you figure it's got to be at least a season or two
or
of
two
transition before
you
can get to the big.
Yeah, he's not
going to
be. I doubt he makes the bigs this year.
No.
But I think somebody gives him a look. I got a spot from on the tier ones. I'll give him a couple innings.
There you go.
If he wants. Joey, if you're listening, and I know you are, your biggest fans.
All right. And then finally, yes, the trailer for Happy Gilmore 2 officially dropped this morning. It's going to be out on Netflix in July 25th, I believe was the date. Watch the trailer. It's about a minute and a half. Watch it during a commercial break. Pretty good. It's pretty good.
Nervous, man.
You know, I think sequels have kind of figured it out over the last 5 years or so. Like,
they used to be money
grabs.
They
know what they are now.
They used to just be money grabs for people who were desperate to see the characters again.
Yeah.
They've found the right balance of the nostalgia and why you fell in love with the first movie. Like, Top Gun 2 was unbelievable. It was really good.
It's like the only one, I feel like. I feel like it's the only one. Jaws 2 was pretty good. But really, for the most part, it's just a tough. When it comes to really good comedies, are really tough to do. Dumb and Dumber scene was like, oh my God, this is the worst piece of garbage I've ever seen.
They're bringing everybody back. Christopher McDonald.
That's good.
Our buddy. Shooter McGavin's there. Julie Bowen's in it as Virginia Vennett.
Yep.
Ben Stiller is in it. He's got good. His appearance in the trailer. And
my problem with sequels is they always do these throwbacks to the same jokes as the first one. No.
You do need new jokes.
Give me an update. You can just move on with your lives. Like, what's happy and all that.
Will Drew Carey be in it instead of Bob Barker?
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Bob Barker is no longer with us.
Yeah. Happy Gilmore is going to be on the senior tour.
That's the thing. So he's on the senior tour. If he ends up beating up Drew Carey or something, that's what I'm talking about. When they do the that was the funny joke in the original. Let's get new stuff, and hopefully it's good.
But you bring back the same characters. Like, they don't have to. You can do Happy Gilmore 2 without Ben Stiller.
Correct.
But
you can.
That's great, I think. Like,
in a way,
they showed
though,
the trailer. He's like, oh, hey, Mr. Gilmore, good to see you there. And he turns around.
Right, you don't have to reintroduce everybody. You get right into it. You actually have a little more to play with because you don't have to establish all your characters again.
Correct. I was thinking of the latest Beverly Hills Cop. And I was so excited for it to come out because I love Axel Foley. One was good. One was great. Two was great. Three was terrible. And then this last one they put out just made me want to die. I was so sad. Doing all the same jokes from the first one and the second one. It was just no good, man.
Different fruit in the tailpipe for each.
You're not going to fall for the tangerine and the tailpipe? Come on, bro. Really? I just watched it last week. It still holds up. It's just a brilliant, brilliant film. But also Adam Sandler movies on Netflix have not been great. So I'm just really hoping it's good.
All right. We will, thank you, Paulie. We will be here tomorrow morning to break down the San Diego State UNC game.
Ooh, mama.
We'll also talk about Stephen Kolek's performance tonight against the Giants. That's a big one as well. So make sure you join us at 6 a.m. tomorrow for more Ben and Woods. Braden is coming up next for our executive producer, Paul Reindl, and Stephen Woods. I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Don't forget to vote in our Tournament of Drops. Talk to you later, everybody, right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long.